Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter on Bible Answers. Bible Answers is sponsored by the Biblical Church of God and is designed to bring you the answers for today's Christian living right from the pages of your Bible. We are living in the end times, and Jesus Christ prophesied the events that would take place. Many people have made the mistake of trying to set a day or a time or a year when Jesus Christ would return. But he didn't. Why? Because there has to be certain events that will take place. Let's look at some of these events that are going to take place, and let's see and know and understand how they fit in the world today, and so that we can know and understand when Jesus Christ is going to return. Because he said, "If I go, I will come again." And the disciples wanted to know what would be those events leading up to the return of Jesus Christ. And right here in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, we find that Jesus said, first of all, beware of those who are going to be bringing a false Christianity or wrong religion. And that's one of the main reasons why Jesus Christ has to return. Another one is to put away the God of this world, Satan the devil, who is behind the false religion. And you know it says in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, concerning the religion of Satan the devil. Did you know that he has a religion? Did you know that he has a counterfeit Christianity? Did you know that there are ministers of Satan the devil using the name of Jesus Christ, and they themselves are deceived and don't really know it? I'm sure there are a lot who do. Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians 11, and let's pick it up in verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And I think we need to realize and understand that Satan the devil is much more powerful than any other human being, and that he is called in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians the God of this world. And Satan the devil is reaching out to deceive this whole world into wars, false religion, destruction, and his whole aim is to, if possible, destroy all flesh, every human being, from off the face of this earth. And we sit right now at the brink of that kind of war, don't we? And we sit right now at that point in history that could be true. And we find in Revelation 12 and verse 9, it talks about Satan the devil, and he appears as an angel of light. And how do you know? How can you tell what is right and what is wrong? Can you tell by your feelings? Can you tell by your emotions? Do you have any deep spiritual insight that you alone can know? Well, the only way you can know is from the pages of your Bible. The answer comes from the Bible. And it says in Revelation 12 and verse 9, "And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan." And of course, how many people are involved in serpent worship? And maybe you are and don't know it. And I'll throw that out as a challenge to see if you can prove or disprove your religion, whether it's right from God's word or not, which deceives the whole world. Satan is deceiving the whole world. And it actually means, it has a meaning in the original language there. He is deceiving the whole world. And you know, he's going to deceive the world so much that they are going to fight Jesus Christ when he returns. Did you realize that? Let's go to Revelation 16 and see that there is going to end up when Jesus Christ returns. Satan the devil is going to have people so deceived they will actually believe that they can fight against the return of Jesus Christ and win. We'll find that in Revelation 16 and verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits. Now there is a spirit world that has power. There is the occult and the secret spiritual organizations. And there are people who follow the religions of the East, which deny Jesus Christ. There are people who think that Jesus was just another prophet and not the Son of God in the flesh. There are people who would rather sit with swamis and gurus and meditate on demonism. And they are going to be deceived. And any of those religions are not from God, but of Satan. That's one of the ways he's deceiving this world. And those three unclean spirits came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And these are spirits of demons working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. And so they're actually going to believe they can win in fighting against Christ. And so that is really going to be the war that's going to end all wars. But some of the events that are going to lead up to it until then, let's go back to Matthew 24 and let's see what they are and see how they are fitting into the events that are taking place right now. You can read in your newspapers and news magazines and watch on the television news and hear on the radio news the desperate things that are happening in this world. Verse 11, which ties right back into the first reason why Jesus Christ has to return in the deception. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And then it says down in verse 24, and there shall arise false Christs, that is, false saviors and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. And that's how they're going to deceive. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect, those that God has called out of this world. Those that have the Spirit of God have to be on their toes so they're not deceived. Well, how about the rest of the world? Where do you stand in that? Because God says you must take a stand. God says you must choose. We have no other alternative. And that's going to come upon every human being. And here's one of the reasons why deception is going to take place. And because iniquity shall abound. That is sin and lawlessness and wretchedness and maltreatment of human beings and killings and muggings and murderings. And all of what is called the nonviolent crimes of sex crimes, deceptions, con games. Everything that human beings can think of and get into as far as evil and wretchedness, it is going to abound and multiply. And you know that does something to people. That really does something to a whole society. And it says, the love of many shall grow cold. And that's exactly what's happening in this world today. We see the things in the society that are going to take place right back here in the book of 2 Timothy, showing just exactly how the society is going to be. And here is a perfect description of the society that we have in the United States today. And we need to turn from that way of living and turn to the way of God and get out of this drug scene, get out of this deception, get out of this self-serving way of Satan the devil. Get out of the way of hatred and wretchedness and violence and competition and greed and jealousy and vanity. And turn to God and let him change our hearts and mind and soul and being. And here's a good description of the society we live in. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And you know what the old saying is, you haven't seen nothing yet. It's just starting, just like Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24, these are the beginning of sorrows and the end is not yet. And if you think World War II was bad, and if you think that there has been famine in Cambodia, which there has been, which has been wretched and miserable and deprivating and causing death and sickness and disease, you ain't seen nothing yet that is going to come upon this world, because it is coming. And here's the reason why. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. And isn't this what we have in our self-improvement and know yourself? There's an even a magazine out that is called Self. Very apt and fitting, isn't it? Lovers of their own selves. Covetous. Wanting, taking, grasping, greeting, stealing, lying, cheating, and all the things that go with covetousness. And God says that that is idolatry. And boasters, and proud, and blasphemers, taking the name of God, ridiculing the right things of God, blaspheming God by saying that He is not true, that God is a liar, and all sorts of things like that. And disobedient to parents. And you know, the disobedience to parents, the Bible lays right at the doorsteps of the leaders of this nation. And that through the wrong education and putting into the minds of the children the wrong things and the wrong child-rearing practices have destroyed many families. Not only is it to be based on love, which it has got to be based on love, but it also has to have wisdom and training. And children need that. They need the stability. They need the security. And yet they go to schools and they don't even know whether there's a God. And they're taught by people that are morally depraved in many cases. And the schools are themselves bound by the way of the administration. And so thrust upon the children is every sort of thing to make them disobedient and wretched to their parents. And why does that have to be? It doesn't have to be in your life. Maybe in the world. But it doesn't have to be in your life. And God is calling us out of this world. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Perverted and twisted in their affections. Truth breakers. Oh, isn't that so? How many times has an agreement been signed only to turn around and have it broken deliberately? How many times, on an individual basis, on a community basis, on a national basis, on an international basis, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good? You try being a teenager sometime, and you go to school, and you try and behave yourself in a way that's right before God, and you are going to be picked on like a sick chicken in a chicken pack. They will absolutely destroy you. That's how bad this world has become, isn't it? And traitors and heady and high-minded and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And if you don't think that is true, you just look at some of the ads on television. You just listen to some of the ads that you will hear. You watch them. Lovers of pleasure. And how many people are loving sports and pleasures rather than God? How many people spend more time poring over the sports page than they do poring over the Bible? How many people are so fanatical with their sports that they will watch it on television, listen to it on the radio, read about it the next day in the newspaper, and that's all they have their minds on? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. And that's why Jesus Christ has to return, because that is going to lead to the destruction of all human beings if He wouldn't return. What are some of the signs that Jesus said would be the prelude to His second coming? He promised and told His disciples that if I go, that is go to God the Father in heaven, I will return. And the disciples wanted to know what would be the signs of His coming and the ending of the society of man, and instituting the kingdom of God. Well, we've seen how Jesus said that there will be religious deception and wars and rumors of wars and horrible, wretched societies that are turned upside down. And that's one of the main things we can see in the world today. He also said something else. He said, and this gospel of the kingdom of God, the rule of God, the government of God. And after all, what is the biggest crisis that we have in the world today? Is not the biggest crisis that we have in the world today government? What is proper government and justice and righteousness? Is it coming from the governments of men? Well, that's why Jesus Christ has to return. And the whole situation in the Bible is pointing to the government and the rule of Jesus Christ as he returns. And he is going to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords on this earth. And there will be peace. Out of all the wretchedness of the society and the world we see around us today, we can be thankful that God Almighty is sending back his Son, Jesus Christ. And he's coming in power and splendor and glory to bring peace to this whole world. And before that happens, men have to know what this world is like now and what the things are that are coming and that they need to turn and be right with God. And that's why the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached in all the world for a witness and also a warning. God is not going to let things be done in a corner. God is not going to let this world be destroyed or nearly destroyed, and it would be without a warning, without a witness, without them knowing and understanding what the things that are coming. And so that has to be preached as a witness. And he says that when these events happen, he says, there shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, to the very end, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there shall be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And those days talk about a time of war and destruction and devastation such as there has never been in the history of this world. And we are right now on the brink and the precipice. We are right now on the brink and precipice of these times. And we need to know and understand and realize the only way of escape, the only way out of it, is that you as an individual turn to God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your being. Now the prophet Daniel talks about these same times in Daniel the 12th chapter. And he says in verse 1, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And it talks about it another place in the Bible where the dead are going to be from one end of the horizon to the other. Hundreds of millions of people dying in war and disease and famine and wretchedness. And Jesus Christ is going to have to return to put an end to that. And you know, when Jesus Christ returns, it's not going to be like a lot of people think. It is not going to be some little thing done in a corner. It is not going to be a secret rapturing of people. No, it's going to be a brilliant and awesome thing. In the book of Matthew, chapter 24 and verse 29, Jesus Christ said this, immediately after the tribulation, and that's what Christ said would be, there would be that tribulation. And how is Jesus Christ going to come? Because people are going to say, well, he's in the desert. He's in a secret place. And you know, there are actually people today who believe that Jesus Christ is somewhere in an office building in New York City. Well, Jesus Christ said when he returns, wherefore, if they shall say to you, behold, he's in the desert, don't go forth. Behold, he's in a sacred chamber, but believe it not. Oh, I believe the word of God. I don't believe what people tell me where Jesus is, because I know he hasn't returned yet. But his return is near. Verse 27 says in Matthew 24, for as the lightning comes out of the east and shines unto the west. Now that's kind of a misnomer in the translation there. It is not lightning as we would think of lightning bolts. Because lightning doesn't come out of the east and shine under the west. What comes out of the east and shines to the west? What light is it that lights the day? It is the sun. And so that's how Jesus Christ is coming. It's not going to be some secret thing done in a corner. He said, as the light shines out of the east and unto the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And that is called the sign of the Son of Man. And that takes place, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And we're going to see those times. You know, it's predicted that in 1982 there are going to be some cataclysmic events take place because of the lining up of the planets. Will that possibly be a beginning of some of the events that are listed here? It could be. We don't know. But we'll just have to wait and see when that comes. But you look around the world and society around us, and we see that society and civilization is apparently collapsing. And yes, there's going to be one more real good spurt of peace and prosperity, but then that's going to end in sudden destruction. And then Jesus Christ is going to return. These heavenly signs will take place. And the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And all then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn when they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And so when Jesus Christ returns, every eye is going to see him. Everyone is going to know that Jesus Christ is returning. But you know, this world is going to be so deceived that they will think that the return of Jesus Christ is the Antichrist. Now, would you be deceived into thinking that? But they are all going to see the return of Jesus Christ, and those people who don't know God, those people who are not on God's side, as it were, if we could use that terminology. Because either you are with God, and you are for God, and you are on his side, or you are against God, and hostile to him, and deceived from God's way. Now, God shows very clearly there are no two ways about it. He either is or it isn't. And that's something that you have to decide and choose and know and understand. And if you need some help with it, well, you need to get on your knees and cry out to God for help, for understanding, for God's Spirit to lead you and guide you. We'll do what we can on Bible Answers to help you in the right way so that you can be right with your Creator and your Savior, Jesus Christ, and that you can be on the resurrection side of the return of Jesus Christ, and not on the destruction side of the return of Jesus Christ. Here in Revelation, the first chapter, talks about the return of Jesus Christ. And this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. And we find in verse 7 how Jesus Christ is going to return. And behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Every human being is going to know that something is happening. They will either know that it's Jesus Christ who is returning to this earth, or they will believe that it is the Antichrist and will fight against him. But that is going to end in the most miserable destruction that has ever been on the face of this earth. When Jesus Christ begins to return, and the events of this world are just being actually shaken to the foundations of this earth, there's going to be a prophecy that will be fulfilled that we find in Isaiah, the second chapter. Isaiah, the second chapter, in verse 10. And this is what people are going to be doing. The cities will be destroyed. War will be going on, violent upheavals and earthquakes, violent things in the weather taking place. Then as it says in Luke, the 21st chapter, the roaring of the seas in the ocean, probably with giant tidal waves. And so here's a prophecy about that time in Isaiah, the second chapter in verse 10. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust for the fear of the Eternal and for the glory of His majesty, because it says, every eye will see Him. And the lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Eternal alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Eternal of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, he shall be brought low. And verse 17, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Eternal alone shall be exalted in that day. Because when Jesus Christ sets his foot on this earth, on the Mount of Olives, then this world will know. And the kingdom of God is going to be ushered in with a proper religion, the proper government, with love, with justice, with understanding, and all of the things that men really want. And the only way those things can be gotten or received is through God and His way. God's way alone works to bring the lasting benefit. And the idols he shall utterly abolish. Do you have a religion that uses idols? Do you have a religion where you bow down before saints or people or religious authorities or figures? Do you have to have a cross or a crucifix for your religion? Maybe you better ask yourself, is that really the religion of God? Did that really come from Jesus Christ? Did that really come from God who said, you shall make no graven image of any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth, and you shall not bow down and worship it? Maybe you better check into your Bible and find out what is right and true. And that's why this program, Bible Answers, to get people to think, to get people to really understand about the Bible and God and where they're going and where they're headed and where this world is going and how they can make their lives right with God through Jesus Christ. And that's the only way it's going to be. So when Jesus Christ returns, he's going to utterly abolish and destroy all idols. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth, for the fear of the Eternal and for the glory of His majesty when He arises to shake terribly the earth. And so when Jesus Christ comes, it is going to be awesome and brilliant and glory. Verse 26, in that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and idols of gold, which they have made every one to themselves to worship, and to the moles and to the bats they shall throw them, and go unto the clefts of the rock and the top of the ragged rocks for the fear of the Eternal and for the glory of His majesty when He arises to shake terribly the earth. And these momentous events are sure and true. You need to get on our mailing list, Bible Answers, so that you can get the answers for your life, for today's Christian living, so that you can be right with God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, the same time and the same station, this is Fred Coulter saying goodbye, everyone.
The Canadian Office, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, K6B5B2, Australia, GPO 1574, Sydney 2001, Auckland, New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihai 2981, Nigeria, Post Office Box 1174, UYO, that is UYO, 520001, Akwa Ibom State, Nigeria, West Africa. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Witham CM81WZ. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Willoro, W-I-L-R-O, Park, Republic of South Africa, 1731.